Crown him with many crowns, for he is king of all. That's a great hymn, isn't it? Well, welcome to Burwell Baptist Church. Here once again, meeting as church, but once again from our separate homes. This is our latest online service for the 6th of September 2020. Wherever you are, and whoever you are, we're glad that you can join us this morning. And we welcome you to be part of us. So let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we thank you that you are already here with each one of us, wherever we are this morning. We commit our service to you now and ask that you would use it to speak your word into our lives. Holy Spirit, come and have your way among us now. Amen. So this morning we're looking at the gospel and how it can impact our lives in 21st century COVID hit Britain. The word gospel literally means good news, and today we're thinking about the good news that God loves us and wants us to know him, whoever we are and whether we deserve it or not. Actually, none of us deserve it, so that's just as well. The good news, as we will hear, means that God's promise, all his promises, are for all of us. Burwell Baptist has members with various giftings, and first up, Sue is going to read one of her poems for us.
I wrote this poem some time ago, just after watching people walking across a pelican crossing. It's just simply called People Crossing. Bleep, bleep, a rush of feet. People start to cross the street. All kinds of faces from all different races. Every one is unique. There's a worried lady. There's a laughing baby. That man looks quite sickly. That girl's running quickly. That boy's acting badly. Everyone is someone, a special kind of person. Behind their eyes lie private lives, revealed to almost no one. Do you know who you are? Maybe not a movie star, but very famous all the same, to one who knows us all by name and holds us in his care.
Well, thank you, Sue, for that great introduction to our theme of the gospel. Even when we feel small and insignificant, or even unloved by any other human being, we can still know that we are known and loved by our Heavenly Father. And it's good to hear that in his eyes, each of us are famous. Well, last Tuesday evening, we had a walk organised, socially distanced, of course, for some of the ladies in the church. Well, you may remember, or you may not, last Tuesday was, well, let's say, interesting weather-wise. We'd had a series of deluges for most of the day, on and off, and there was a gale-force wind blowing. So it didn't really inspire going out for a walk. However, seven intrepid ladies did indeed meet up and embark on a walk. Well, we made it. Probably in the only two dry hours of the day, no one got blown into the load and we got back safely. And actually, well, we really enjoyed it. On the way back, we had the most fantastic view of a rainbow over the village. A powerful symbol of God's promise. Over the last 6 months, we've been learning a lot about trust. And if you're anything like me, you may have found yourself asking God once or twice, "Where are you in this, God? Where are you in the chaos, in the pain? Are you there Are you really in control? I'd like us to watch this movie now and reflect on God's faithfulness. One of the lines is, "Every rainbow, a promise." Maybe as we listen, we can bring to mind some of the rainbows, real or metaphorical, of the last 6 months, where we've known God with us, even in the storm. I'd love to ask you to share them with us now, but sadly this technology doesn't allow that. But maybe share them on Facebook later, or even with your family and friends this week. So today's service is part of a weekend of prayer here in Burwell. So I haven't given quite as much time to prayer as we do sometimes. But right now, let's spend a few moments in prayer. I will leave some space for you to bring your own prayers to God. And there's three sections. At the end of each section, we can say together, "Hear our prayer and bring your calm amidst chaos." So that's "Hear our prayer and bring your calm amidst chaos." So let's pray. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we draw near to you and pray. As you intercede for us before the throne, so we come on behalf of those in need. You calmed the raging storm, and so we ask you to still the restless hearts of peoples all over the world. Bring your peace to troubled places, we pray. You might want to bring to the Lord your own prayers right now. Jesus Christ, who calmed the wind and storm, we say together, hear our prayer and bring your calm amidst chaos. Holy Spirit, our helper and our comforter, we draw near to you and pray. As you intercede for us with groans that words cannot express, so we pray on behalf of those in need. You are our support and comfort, bringing peace beyond our understanding. And so we ask you to be the steadfast truth in the minds of those in shock. Bring your comfort in confusion and commotion. Let's just bring our prayers now for those people we know that need God's comfort. Holy Spirit, our comforter and helper, we say together, hear our prayer and bring your calm amidst chaos. Father God, creator of heaven and earth, we draw near to you and pray. We intercede in Christ Jesus and by the Holy Spirit and pray on behalf of those in need. Your ways are higher than ours and your wisdom infinitely greater. And so we ask you to give wisdom to those in difficulty and mercy to those in pain. Let your hope emerge from the debris of tragedy. Again, it's a moment to bring those people that you want to bring to God now. Father God, maker of heaven and earth, together we say, hear our prayer and bring your calm amidst chaos. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Amen. I mentioned earlier that we have various gifts in the fellowship, and we've put together a painting by Sarah Hurley and Isaiah 61. Jesus took this passage as his manifesto for his ministry, his promise to a broken world. One of the lambs represents Jesus as the lamb slain, and he carries the bandage, which is for the lambs who are ministering to the one who is fallen and has the broken heart. The music's from Nat Twigg and used by permission. Apologies to those listening on the CD as you can't see the picture, but maybe just close your eyes and listen anyway. As you listen, just allow God to speak to you through the text and the quiet music. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me, because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all captives, pardon for all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, to give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me, because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce freedom to the captives.
Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him,
I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let the Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence.
Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my God, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved.
Well, thanks to Kath and Pete for doing our reading, and to everybody that's taken part this morning. We're going to sing a couple of songs together before we hear what Chris has to say to us this morning. But first, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you once more for Chris, and we pray your blessing on him this morning. Lord, prepare our hearts to respond to you now as we come to worship and to hear from you. Amen. So, we have some songs to sing together. The first one, I really encourage you to get into the groove, as they say. Grab something that you can use to shake and join in the percussion. It'll be much more fun that way. So, over to you.
The apparently endless cycle of births, marriages and deaths, together with the never-ending list of mundane daily tasks, can lead us to live the whole of our lives without ever asking, why am I here? Perhaps the current pandemic or a personal tragedy might prompt us to ask, what is the purpose of life? But most often, we don't wait for an answer before silencing the uncomfortable questions with more activity. What if life does have a purpose? Wouldn't it be a good idea to spend a little time finding out what that purpose is before we die? I believe that your life does have meaning and purpose. If I'm wrong, then you've wasted a few moments of a meaningless life. If I'm right, then this could be the most important talk that you've ever listened to. So what is the meaning and purpose of your life? The answer is not mine, and it doesn't start with you. The answer is given by God, recorded in the 66 books of the Bible, and the answer starts with Jesus. This morning, I want to think about a speech which helped more than 3,000 people discover the meaning of their lives in a single day, as they discovered who Jesus is and responded to his promises. About 2,000 years ago, a crowd of people were going about their daily routines, celebrating their harvest as they did every year, and praying that someone would rescue them from the oppression not only of the Romans, but of their own failings and regrets. Meanwhile, that same day, a few people met in a small room. People who'd followed Jesus and had been gathering for several weeks. They'd heard his teaching, witnessed his torture and death, and then, after 3 days, to their utter amazement, they'd encountered him again after he'd risen from the dead. He wasn't a ghost, but fully alive. They've come to believe that Jesus is more than a prophet. He's God in human form, the Son of God. They're in this room, waiting at his command, waiting for the gift his Father has promised. Then we're told suddenly, that is unexpectedly, abruptly, they experienced something which they'd never experienced before and they can't adequately put into words. It transforms them and fulfilled what the Father promised. Their reaction to this experience is to declare the wonders of God and to do so so loudly that a crowd gathered. Israelites and God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. We heard the crowd's reaction in our reading. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Although they spoke different languages, each one heard them declaring the wonders of God in their own native tongue. They ask, what does this mean? This will take the rest of the Bible to answer, but Peter's speech gives a summary and a first response. It's this explanation and their response to it which transforms their lives. They each discover not only the purpose of their life, but the power to fulfill that purpose. So what did those in the room experience and how did it connect with Jesus? Peter, the man who gave the speech, was a Jew. He worshipped God in the ways outlined in what we call the Old Testament. He was one of those who'd walked with Jesus, heard his teaching and witnessed his miracles. He begins his explanation by looking backwards. He quotes a promise given by God to Joel, a Jewish prophet who lived 800 years earlier. The prophecy speaks of a time when God will pour out his spirit on all people, and it ends by promising that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel brought a revelation of who God is and how our lives can be saved. Saved from our own mistakes, saved from the meaningless of a wasted life, saved from evil in us and evil done to us. God has a plan. He has a plan for everyone, including you. A plan to fill you with his presence and rescue you. It's a plan in which Peter now sees Jesus as central. In this quotation, Joel speaks of God, his Spirit, and the Lord. Peter claims that after 800 years, the promise of this prophecy was being fulfilled that very day. Inspired by the outpouring of the Spirit Joel spoke about, Peter reflects on this prophecy in the light of Jesus. He speaks to others who'd met Jesus or were aware of his ministry, some of whom had been directly involved in getting him executed for the blasphemy of claiming to be God. Hear again what Peter said. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't a tragic end to a wonderful life. It was God's deliberate plan, although brought about by wicked men. Peter declares that Jesus died and God raised Jesus from the dead. Peter recognises another passage from the Old Testament which speaks about God not abandoning his Holy One to death. It's found in a psalm written by King David, and he points out that as King David died, he couldn't have been speaking about himself, but rather he was looking ahead to the coming Messiah, God's chosen one. By raising Jesus from death, God vindicated Jesus' claim to be that Messiah. Peter said, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. The resurrection has revealed that Jesus is the Messiah, God's chosen means of rescuing us. Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension are the reasons that the Spirit has been poured out at this moment. A few verses later he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Peter declares that Jesus is none other than the Lord of whom Joel spoke and the Messiah spoken of by David. God, his Spirit, and the Lord. One God in three persons. Father, Spirit, and Son, a relationship that began before the creation of the world and from which creation sprang. This is the loving relationship into which you are invited in order to find meaning and purpose for your life as part of God's plan. Those who heard this that day recognized that they'd been living their lives independent of God and that this had led to Jesus' death. The cross made clear that their actions mattered, and that each one in their own way had contributed to Jesus' death. The same is true of each one of us. Our actions matter. Our lives can either be lived to fulfill God's purposes, or we're part of the problem of a broken world. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We'll explore more fully what it means to repent and be baptized in weeks to come, but briefly, repentance means to rethink our lives in the light of who Jesus is revealed to be. To be baptized means to be immersed into God's plan and purposes, expressed outwardly by being immersed in water. The name Jesus means Saviour, the one who saves. We are saved, healed, made whole when we call on the name of Jesus. Calling on his name doesn't just mean saying his name, it means admitting that we need saving and that only his death in our place can free us from the consequences of living independently of God. Everyone who does call on his name in this way is saved. Peter repeated the promise that all who do this receive not only forgiveness for their past, but the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable them to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for them to do. Those who believe this message join together to build a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship. So how do we apply that? The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. God is calling you. The promise is for you. Whatever you've done or failed to do, God has a rescue plan for you and will pour out his Spirit upon you. He loves you and wants you to love him. His love comes to you where you are. He loves you enough not to leave you as you are. He will release his gifts through you and empower you to declare the wonders of God. This is the purpose of your life, to love God and to love others. If we trust his promises and live it out in our actions, then we can live our lives with meaning. Because Jesus has conquered death, this new life continues with him forever. He can take our mistakes, our suffering, and even our failings and transform them. He can transform all that's gone before and give it meaning. How might we respond to this? What about you? Are you prepared to rethink your life, call out for rescue, and receive forgiveness and the power to fulfill God's purposes for your life? Will you join us in serving King Jesus? If so, perhaps you'll join me in this prayer and invite others to join us in this series. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in Jesus, all the fullness of God dwelt among us. Thank you that in him we see you. You love us with an unquenchable love and your promises are trustworthy. We believe that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And because he's been raised, we can receive your Spirit into our lives. We put our trust in Jesus as our Lord and ask that you will forgive us. And pray, come Holy Spirit, we welcome the gift of the Father. We love you and we want to join you in your plan to declare your wonders to everyone. Amen.
Well, thanks again to Chris and to Pete and Nick for leading us. And that brings us to the end of our service today. Remember this week that the promise that we read in the passage and that Chris spoke about is for you and for all who are far off. A closing prayer then. Lord, we thank you for the good news that you love us no matter what, and that your plan and your promises include each one of us. Lord, we pray that each one who's joined with us today or who accesses this material later will be able to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ for each one of us. Amen. As I said at the beginning, we're glad that you've chosen to join us today. If you are new to Burwell Baptist, then we would love to hear from you, so please do get in contact if you can. Details of how to do that will appear at the end on the screen. May God bless you this week, and we hope to see you again, maybe even face to face one day. Bye for now.